Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in today to the online health classes from AnnsHealthPlace.com. And my name is Ann Elliott. Today on Ann's Health Class, we're going to knock out the enemy to our good health. God's Word says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We need to learn to identify how Satan wants to steal our health and kill and destroy our families. Today we're going to take a look at a huge list of health-destroying food choices so that when we go to the grocery store, we won't be deceived by Satan into ruining our health. We'll learn some obstacles to making good choices, but even better, we're going to find out what good choices are. So this is going to be a really practical and packed session. Now, once again, I have my friend Kathy with me today. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Ann. What a pleasure again. Hey, Ann, I took your advice. I
went Yay, what'd you do?
I went for a walk today. It's gorgeous here in southern Iowa. The sun is out, and so I got my sunshine today.
Good for you. It's cloudy here.
Oh, I am so sorry because it is just amazing here, and I just drank it in. It was wonderful. So I understand
wow.
We're going shopping today, though, even though we're miles apart, and I just wondered if I could push the cart for you.
Oh, you're welcome to push the cart. I'll hold the list.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, Kathy, today is really practical. We're going to look at various foods that are sold in the grocery store and see what we should buy and what we shouldn't. But we've got a serious beginning. I have been convinced for some time now that Satan is trying to sabotage our health, my health, definitely, and your health, Kathy, and we've talked about this. And the Bible says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and that's in John 10:10. And do I act like I believe that's true? So, Kathy, I asked you ahead of the class if you would be willing to open up our class in prayer today because of the serious nature of what we're going to be discussing, and then read some verses for us.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege, what a blessing it is to bow before you and to come into your presence. Father, we seek truth. We wouldn't be here otherwise. It's not just to gain more knowledge, but we all have personal reasons that we're here today, and we need truth. We need to know what's good for us and what's not. And Father, we seek it from you. We ask that you open our eyes of understanding, reveal to us, show us the things that are good. Show us the things that are not. Show us how we're being deceived, how we're being sabotaged by the enemy, Father. Father, I pray that we will walk in the truth that you reveal to us. And we'll need your help. We need your Spirit's help to do that, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us your Spirit to give us that power to walk in your truth. And we thank you for that. And Father, we look forward to what you're going to show us today and the things we're going to learn. And, Father, we just give you all the praise and high esteem. In your precious Son's name we pray, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Kathy, would you also read for us from Genesis 2:15-17?
Absolutely. Okay, in Genesis 2:15-17, Yahweh, Elohim, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Yahweh, Elohim, commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die."
Kathy, I know you're reading from the New International Version, but you read it a little differently than what I see in my Bible. You mm-hmm. used words like Yahweh and Elohim for God's names, and I wanted to explain to our listeners why you're doing that. The word Yahweh is God's name, and that means I am. And God is the ever-existent one, the one that has been and will be from everlasting to everlasting. And the word Elohim means creator God, and he's king and judges the universe. And I wanted to see if we could wrap our minds around what that really means.
Absolutely. I have done a study on God's name just this past year. I mean, it's not even, not even begin. I mean, it's just God's name is so powerful and so wonderful, and it encompasses all his different characteristics. And And I love learning his name, and I love knowing him as my creator God, as my Elohim, and knowing him as the great I am. He certainly is. He's everything to me. And so I'm glad you let me read it like that. So
Kathy, the never changing, always the same, present tense I am. He's the one who created man's body and knows how it works. And he is saying to Adam in these verses, you are free to eat from any tree but one. Now, would you read what happened in the very next chapter of Genesis? And this is in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19.
Okay. So to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return.
So Adam simply ate what he was commanded not to eat. And that doesn't seem like such a terrible sin to me, Kathy.
From the outside, but you know, I was thinking about this, Anne, and I was thinking about my children and my relationship with my children, just as God's relationship with me. And I was thinking about when I tell my children not to do something, and I'm telling them that out of love, and then I know the consequences from that. And so when I think about that, and I think about how God, you know, how he knew how the consequence of Adam disobeying him, what it would do, and so it must have really broken his heart.
I'm sorry, I've got some interference, and that doesn't surprise me one bit. We were saying before the show we were going to have technical difficulties. Okay, Kathy, will you stay on the line, and I will be right back. In just Hi, Kathy. Are you there?
I am there, and that doesn't surprise me one bit.
That's another
way that the enemy tries to sabotage things, but God is greater, so here we go.
I'm talking about how we wouldn't be surprised if we had something happen today.
No, not at all, but God is good. And, you know, I was saying, and I'm not sure if the listeners could hear it all, but God's relationship to us and how much he loves us, and he knew. You know, when he told Adam not to do that, it was out of love because he knew the consequence of that sin, just as we know the consequence of our children's sin, if our children do something we ask them not to do. And so anyway, yes, you know, how could something so small as eating a fruit from a tree be such a terrible sin? But God knew how it would affect Adam and Eve and how it would affect all of us. And so anyway, enough of that. Let's go.
Sure. You know, I don't think I realize sometimes how serious the attack of Satan against us is. We don't act as if it were serious, but what would become of your church, Kathy, if all the members of your church were too sick and too tired, too lethargic, too out of shape to be able to go out and share the gospel? And what if all the moms are too tired to be about the business of mothering and of being kind and attentive to their children, too crabby, they don't feel well?
Yeah.
And what if night after night too many Christian women have headaches and don't feel like being good wives?
Mm.
And where are all the lost people going to go? And who's going to do the mothering? And who's going to love our husbands? I am sure that Satan has an idea of what to do with our husbands and our children and our loved ones if we don't feel up to the task.
That's
and that doesn't even include missions, starting churches, advancing the gospel across the globe, defeating Satan in war-torn countries. These are battles, and these things take energy and resources, but our country is losing its resources. I know of missionaries that are constantly coming down with health problems and cancer, coming home from the field, and they're fatigued, and their families are falling apart. And God says, because you listened, because you ate what I commanded you, saying, don't eat of it, cursed is everything in your realm because of you. And through painful toil, you will pay the consequences all the days of your life until you return to the ground. And so it's a rather serious way to start our class today, but I wanted everyone to see that Satan is planning to sabotage your efforts at health. And let's look at a few characteristics of Satan's warfare. I called our class today Satan's Sabotages. To sabotage is to try to sneak in and destroy something in an underhanded way. First, in John 10:10, we learn that Satan kills, steals, and destroys. In John 8:44, we learn that he is a liar and the father of lies. So when we head out to the grocery store, we need to remember that we are going to be lied to, and our money will be stolen, and Satan will try to kill us. And it sounds drastic, but by the end of today's class, I think you will agree with me that this is indeed what he is attempting to do. So put on your battle gear, get your shopping cart, and let's see if we can catch him at his game. Okay, we're going to start our tour of a grocery store at the bakery, since that's the first section I have to pass through when I enter my local grocery store. And I'm usually a little tired and hungry when I get there, so it's especially hard to resist. We probably all know that the bakery is full of so-called junk food, but let's take a look at why. We'll see first that these foods are very high in carbohydrates, and that's carbs for short. I'm sure if you're not sure what carbs and proteins are, an easy way to remember it is that generally speaking, carbs come from plants, proteins come from animals. And I can think of all kinds of exceptions, but this is a good rule of thumb. We've been talking for several weeks now about how God directed us to eat green plants. And plants are full of carbs, but the carbs we see in the grocery store bakery are refined carbs, a far cry from the green plants out in God's creation. So where did the word refined come from? What is so refined about white flour and sugar and other processed foods? And what is unrefined about whole foods, the way that God created them? Nutritionist Moss Green, I read an article by her, and she explained it so well, I'm just going to quote her for a moment, and this is what she writes. She says, here's the story. Before the Industrial Revolution, the processing of food was extremely difficult. It was an upstairs, downstairs affair, requiring the gentry's kitchen staff that they hand sift the whole wheat to create pure white flour. Only very wealthy, refined people could afford this process. It was exclusive to the nobles, aristocrats, kings, and queens. The peasants, who were considered coarse and vulgar and unrefined, had to eat whole grains, poor things. So even though the peasants were strong and healthy and robust, they wanted to be refined, like the rich and powerful and elite. And in this way, processed food was born and glorified. And never mind the fact that the aristocrats were puny and sickly and dying earlier and earlier from the new refined degenerative diseases. So why do food companies refine our food, this author asks. Processed foods have a much longer shelf life. After all, there's nothing much left in it to spoil. So industrialized food companies latched onto the idea that longer shelf life meant bigger profits. Advertising companies loved the image of refined and had great marketing appeal. But the drawbacks of most refined grains and sugars are much worse than you're led to believe. The problem starts with glucose. Glucose is the primary fuel for all the cells in your body. But in whole foods, starches are molecularly bound together, and your digestive system has to break down the food to turn it into glucose. And this digestive procedure takes place slowly over a period of time. Processed foods, however, like white flour and sugar, need relatively no digestive time. They're absorbed rapidly into your system, and your blood and cells get flooded with glucose. And it's a physical disaster. Your body knows high blood sugar is extremely dangerous, so an emergency alarm is sounded. Your glands send insulin to the rescue to deal with the catastrophic flood of glucose. And insulin basically turns the glucose into fat to get it out of your blood. And this is an emergency maneuver designed to protect you from life-threatening levels of high sugar in your blood. But your body is not designed to manage a glucose alarm on a daily, sometimes hourly basis. Many researchers believe that refined or processed high glucose foods are the major dietary cause of all degenerative disease. How so? She writes, the sugar surge depletes, replaces, and uses up important vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients. It quadruples adrenaline output. It inhibits the immune functioning. It lowers your metabolism, raises cholesterol, increases type triglycerides. And the glucose that's produced from refined foods gets stored as fat to save for a later time when there might be a famine, and there's a fat chance of that in our society. The conversion process not only causes fatty deposits on your body, but also in your cells, on your arteries, and on your heart. Fat is even deposited in your liver, kidneys, and other organs. The constant bombardment of blood sugar raises your risk of obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, arthritis, premature aging, and cancer. And it truly is the sweet kiss of death. And this was the end of her quotation. I know that was a long one, but in your homework this week, Kathy, you'll find articles that talk about more dangers of refined carbs. Consuming only 100 grams of sugar will reduce your body's ability to fight infection for 4 hours. But a tall glass of orange juice and a slice of toast with jam in it has more grams of refined carbs than this. And that's a standard breakfast for a mom who might be fighting a sore throat. In fact, sugar is even addictive. Did you know, Kathy, that sugar is more addictive than heroin or cigarette smoking? I was shocked when I found that out. I think we kind of know that deep down, but we will quickly judge another believer who is having a difficult time giving up an addiction to cigarettes without ever judging ourselves for not being able to give up an addiction to sugar. And the fact is, addictions are incredibly difficult to break. It's often not just a matter of our willpower. There are complex hormonal processes that are called into play to preserve our bodies and to keep us from breaking those addictions. And as you can see, refined carbs are an important tool in Satan's weaponry, and he wants to keep us sick and ineffective in our service for God.
That is definitely an area that I have struggled in for probably forever. I mean, not to blame it on being raised on a farm at all, but we had abundance of wonderful food, and we always had desserts. And I honestly thought that a meal wasn't complete, you know, unless it had a dessert with it. And so, you know, it's a struggle that I have now. And I know, Anne, I mean, I can tell when my body, if I've had too much sugar, you know, how it makes me feel. You know, either I get a kind of a buzz going on in my head, or just that feeling so tired within, you know, half hour after I've had a lot of sugar. And so, I mean, I know it's not good for me. And so I appreciate hearing that again. But my question is, what about wheat? You know, we're in the bakery, and one of the first things I see in our bakery is yummy breads made from wheat and just, you know, huge variety. So it looks good. I'm assuming it's good.
All right. When wheat and other grains are refined, what happens to their cofactors? As a reminder from last week for everyone, cofactors are enzymes, vitamins, and minerals that were they're naturally present in the wheat when God created it. And we talked about three legs of a stool, the enzymes, the vitamins, and the minerals. Well, when wheat is refined, first of all, it's stripped of its outer shell. We call it the bran. White flour is white because the bran, the outer part of the wheat berry, has been removed. And this increases the gluten content of the flour. It's great for the baker because it makes for a lighter, fluffier loaf of bread. But sadly, the majority of vitamins and minerals are contained in that bran, so now we've stripped them away. Now, during the commercial milling of flour in massive speed and the grinders that they use are so fast, the wheat is heated up, so enzymes are also destroyed. Many times the wheat has also been irradiated, which I like to compare to being cooked quickly in a microwave oven. And while this increases the shelf life of wheat, it destroys all the enzymes. So even organic products that you buy can be irradiated, and this means that they will never be able to sprout or grow a new wheat plant. Obviously, the enzymes have been destroyed. So you're missing several or even all of the legs of your stool that we discussed last week. Without enzymes, the refined foods cannot be properly digested, and they become toxins in your system.
But what about, like in our bakery, they've brought in some breads that have lots of grains in them. I mean, like a 12-grain bread. It's chock full of, it looks like, I mean, it even looks chunky, if that makes sense. I mean, it looks like it has the whole grain in there.
They look delicious, don't they? And they look
like they're
really healthy. I think we've all been told, we've been drilled into it, eat whole grains, eat whole grains. Well, all grains, all seeds really, contain tiny enzyme inhibitors. And these are placed inside the grain by God for a very important reason, so that the seeds won't sprout before their time out in nature. But if we don't deactivate those enzyme inhibitors, we won't have access to the enzymes we need to digest those seeds. In fact, those seeds now become toxins in our bodies, and they wreak havoc with our hormone systems, especially our thyroid glands. So the whole grain breads in the bakery, while they certainly sound more healthy, and they'll certainly be promoted as such, because don't forget that Satan is trying to trick us here, they are quite hazardous to our health because they're incredibly difficult to digest. They mess up our metabolism. So as you can see on your handout, it says refined foods equal foods that are low in nutrients. Foods that are commercially milled at high heat equal enzyme destruction. And improperly prepared whole grains, equals grains that are difficult to digest and in fact become toxins in our system. So here are some things we can do, Kathy. First, yes, we need to replace white refined flours with whole grains. White equals very little nutrition. It's an obvious sign that Satan has been there, making it look and smell good, but stripping away all the goodness. Second, the whole grains must be properly prepared. We have to deactivate the enzyme inhibitors that are in the seeds. Sourdough bread is an example of a properly prepared bread. Yum. Another bread that you might be able to find at your local store, not in the bakery section because it would spoil if it were there, but back in the freezer section, is maybe Ezekiel sprouted bread, or another brand is Alvarado Street Bakery sprouted bread. You'll have to read labels carefully, because even if I tell you a brand today, the label, it can change. So it's up to you to read the labels carefully. Even here, Satan will do his best job of marketing to trick you. Okay, third, skip the grocery store altogether for your baked goods and learn to properly prepare delicious breads and baked goods at home. And we'll talk more about how to do that next week. Finally, be careful, especially of all foods that contain soy. Soy is a seed that contains an extremely high number of enzyme inhibitors. It's a powerful endocrine inhibitor. That means it's dangerous if it's not properly prepared. And I'll tell you right now, in the United States, it's very rare to find it properly prepared. It's politically correct to promote soy in our country because it's financially good for large food producers. But remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. I've got some information on soy in your homework assignment this week, and I urge you to read the labels on all foods carefully and avoid anything that contains the word soy. Okay, we're still in the bakery, Kathy. We spent a lot of time in here today.
Well, we're not done yet, because in our bakery, we have this huge showcase that has yummy donuts and cream horns in it. And I remember my mom making this, maybe once a year. She didn't do it very often, but we'd make a huge, it was an all-day affair, make a huge batch of donuts, and we would fry them in oil, and they were so good. And I would like us to talk a little bit about fat. And oils and all that stuff.
Kathy, I think we all recognize the good taste of fats. But the standard American diet wants to tell us that fat is bad for us, that we need to eat food that is low in fat. And I think I smell a trick of the devil here. In truth, fat does give us a concentrated source of energy. That is exactly what we need to fight food cravings and accomplish a lot in our day. And I'm not talking about the unhealthy fat that is found in donuts, so bear with me for a second.
Okay.
good fats contain building blocks for cell walls, and those are called cell membranes. Without those fats, your cell walls collapse. And this is the leading cause of COPD, pulmonary disease, and asthma, as well as other lung disorders. And in addition, our bodies need fat for hormone production. The low-fat diet craze is a direct contributor to the huge increase we're seeing in metabolic disorders today. The consumption of fats slows down the absorption of those carbs, and that helps to stabilize our blood sugar levels. Fats are carriers for the fat-soluble vitamins A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K. And do you realize what this means? Okay, we're walking out of the bakery now, Kathy, and we're going to go into the dairy section.
Okay.
And I see low-fat cheese, low-fat yogurt, and low-fat milk. Yet when we skim the fat out of these products, we can no longer absorb vitamins A, D, E, and K, and they're naturally present in high amounts in these foods. So amazingly, the food industry loves to enrich these products with vitamins we can't even absorb. So how's that for deceptive, and how's that for expensive? The consumption of fat is necessary for us to convert carotene to vitamin A. We've all heard we should eat carrots because they're high in vitamin A, and that's not exactly true. In fact, they're high in carotene, and when we eat low-fat salads, we can't convert the carotene to vitamin A because we don't have any fat present, and it's all flushed right out of our system. In fact, only animal products from animals that eat green plants that God provided and then make the conversion from carotene to vitamin A for us, only those can actually provide us with any true vitamins in our diet. So vegetarians are certainly at a disadvantage here. And if they're low-fat vegetarians, they're on dangerous ground indeed. So finally, we must have fats in our diet for the absorption of minerals. Do you remember the three legs of our stool again? We need enzymes, vitamins, and minerals. What does someone do who avoids fat like the plague because they can't absorb their minerals and their stool falls over? Okay, so some experts are now saying that we need to eat healthy fats and avoid unhealthy fats. The problem is that everyone defines healthy differently. The most common definition is that saturated fats are bad, but monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats are better. Now, in your homework, I've provided links to lots of research in this field from some of the leading scientists in nutrition, not from me. But I want to dispel the myth that saturated fat is an unhealthy fat. When you're in the dairy section trying to decide which fats are saturated and which ones aren't, it's really not too hard to tell. Saturated fats are solid at room temperature. That's because their molecules are packed really tight together, so they stay solid. They're saturated. Butter is a good example of naturally saturated fat. But wouldn't this be a good time for Satan to step in and try to sabotage things? Because he's the father of lies, and he can smell all this confusion going around the fats. So saturated fats are not the enemy. Let me explain why. They are what give our cells the necessary stiffness and integrity that they need. Second, they play a vital role in the health of our bones. For calcium to be absorbed into your skeleton, at least 50% of your dietary fats have to be saturated. Now, that you're not going to hear that on the evening news. They protect the liver from alcohol and other toxins such as Tylenol. They enhance your immune system. They are needed for the proper use of essential fatty acids. They love to advertise essential fatty acids on our foods, but they aren't going to tell you that you need to have fat to utilize them, saturated fat. Omega-3 fatty acids are better retained in your tissues if your diet is rich in saturated fat. The fat around your heart muscle is highly saturated, and the heart draws on this reserve of fat in times of stress. Saturated fatty acids have important antimicrobial properties. In other words, they help us kill the germs and the attacks that come on at us from the outside world and in your digestive tract. So we absolutely have to have saturated fats in our diet.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
What about the cholesterol? We hear a lot about cholesterol that's in foods with saturated fat. I mean, can you kind of enlighten us about that?
Sure. Well, I see it in the eggs over there, huh?
just around the corner.
cholesterol has gained a bad reputation, but are we hearing the truth from Satan? Here are some well-documented benefits of cholesterol in our diet, and again, you can see this on your homework. Along with saturated fats, cholesterol in the cell membrane gives our cells the necessary stiffness, again, that we need. I have a friend, doesn't live too far from your house, Kathy, who has COPD. He can't breathe, and he has changed his diet to include more saturated fat and coconut oil, and it has made a huge difference in his health, and he didn't have to change a single medication. And
wow.
That was firsthand
Wonderful.
Evidence to us that you have to have stiff cells in order to breathe properly. Cholesterol acts as a precursor to hormones that help us deal with stress. This affects my life. This protects our body against heart disease and cancer, and it helps us build the sex hormones that we need for reproduction. Cholesterol is a precursor to vitamin D, and this winter time when we're feeling the effect of all the cloudy days, if we don't have any cholesterol in our body, we cannot process vitamin D properly. And it's a very important vitamin that you need for healthy bones and a nervous system, for proper growth, for your mineral metabolism, for muscle tone, for insulin, for reproduction, for your immune system. It could go on and on. Bile salts. Bile salts are made in your gallbladder, and I know that was a concern you had, but bile salts are made from cholesterol. And bile is vital for digestion and assimilation of all the fats I just told you to eat, so you have to have the cholesterol with it. Recent research shows us that cholesterol acts as an antioxidant, and it protects us against free radical damage that leads to heart disease and cancer. Cholesterol is needed for proper function of serotonin in the brain. Now, serotonin is the body's natural feel-good chemical. It makes you just feel calm and happy. And low cholesterol levels have been linked to aggression and violent behavior, depression, and suicide. Mother's milk for moms that breastfeed, that is extremely rich in cholesterol, and it contains a special enzyme that helps the baby utilize it. So that tells me a lot about God's intention for us in cholesterol. And babies and children especially need cholesterol-rich foods throughout their growing years if they're going to ensure the proper development of their brain and their nervous system. Dietary cholesterol, finally, it plays an important role in maintaining the health of your intestinal wall, and we've been talking about that the last few weeks. And this is why low cholesterol vegetarians especially can get leaky gut syndrome and other intestinal disorders. So it's
wow. That's a lot on cholesterol. We're still in the first aisle, Anne, and you're telling us a lot of things, and honestly, it can be kind of confusing. It's a lot to absorb. Is there something that we can just kind of grab onto?
A good rule of thumb. That's what we need. A good rule of thumb. How close, number one, how close to the way God created it is the food we're buying at the grocery store? And another way of saying it is how much processing did it have to go through to get to that store? The closer something is to the way God originally made it, the better it is. For instance, on cholesterol. Cholesterol is damaged by exposure to heat and oxygen, so powdered milk is not as good for us as liquid milk. Or pasteurized milk is not as good as fresh raw milk from the farm. Or milk from factory-produced cows is not as good as milk from cows who are happily munching the green grass that God created for them. Or powdered eggs, they are damaged cholesterol, where fresh eggs from the farm are life-giving. So I love a quote that the Weston Price Foundation says. This is so funny. Just as a large police force is needed in a locality where crime occurs frequently, so cholesterol is needed in a poorly nourished body to protect the individual from a tendency to heart disease and cancer. Blaming coronary heart disease on cholesterol is like blaming the police for the murder and theft in a high crime area. That says so much to me. Now, there's a lot of reading about fat and cholesterol in your homework, and I really hope you'll dive in and learn all you can. But basically, Kathy, I look for fats that are as close to the way God made them as possible. Now, one dangerous fat I want to bring to your attention is any oil that says hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated. Hydrogenated means that the food industry took an oil that was liquid at room temperature and under extreme pressure inserted hydrogen atoms into it to make it solid at room temperature. It's very deceptive, and your body cannot even recognize this as a food. It is a deadly toxin that damages your DNA, your brain cells, your hormones, your heart, even your reproductive ability. They have found that this damage is even passed on to your children and grandchildren. So read labels. Never buy anything that uses the words hydrogenated in the label.
Okay, no hydrogenated. That's powerful. Okay. All right. Well, are we ready to turn the corner yet? Because around the corner in my grocery store is the meat department. And so I'm curious, what can we buy there?
Okay. Well, we've already learned about clean and unclean animals, and we see the general rule that unclean animals like pork and shellfish are unclean because they consume blood and other toxins in their diet. But clean animals are those that graze on fresh green plants and on clean insects, and it's the very food that God created, or it's the very diet that God created for our food, too. So as you look at the meat in the case, ask the butcher. You can talk to him. He won't bite you. And you can ask him if the animals that he's selling there ate green grass or if they ate highly processed foods and they were locked away in a crowded feedlot. And I'm sure he could tell you the answer to that. You might not like the answer, though. Because corn and soy, what they're fed in what we call factory farms, these were not intended by God to be food for cows. But they're good for fattening up a cow, and they increase the profits of the beef industry. So, Kathy, you're looking for meat from cows that are allowed to roam in the open air. They eat pesticide-free green plants. And that's where the term free-range, organic, grass-fed beef comes from. You might not find it at this grocery store, but you can find local sources of grass-fed beef online at eatwild.com, and I have that link in your handout. But you might have difficulty finding good beef here in the meat department of your local grocery store. But the same principles apply not only to beef, but to chicken, lamb, fish, elk, and all the other good foods that you can eat in the meat department. Now, sadly, Kathy, I've been so frustrated in the last few weeks. To make beef and chicken and fish taste better, I am seeing a huge increase in the amount of flavorings and additives and so-called solutions of 15% broth and so on that are added to our meat, always read the label, even on your meat. If they've had to add flavorings to the beef, and you'll find it in very tiny print, believe me, ask yourself, why did they add that? Could it be that the meat is of such poor quality that they're hiding it somehow? And finally, have any hormones been added to the feed of the cows to make them more productive? What about antibiotic use because the herd is passing diseases to one another because of their unhealthy diet? I highly recommend a book called Fast Food Nation. It's a fun book to read, pretty intense in places, but it has an honest look at the meat industry in our country today, and it really opened my eyes. And since we're talking about cows, Kathy, let me back up the shopping cart to the milk aisle one more time.
Okay.
Grass is a proper diet for cows, but the dairy industry has learned that they can manipulate the fat and protein content of milk by changing the feed to grains rather than grass, grains such as corn and soy. Hormones and antibiotics are used extensively by the dairy industry because the cows are milked for unnaturally long periods of time. They're separated from their calves and they're impregnated again without time to recover between calves. So the life of a cow in this situation is quite short. And these hormones, they're present in large amounts in their milk and in their meat. And we're inserting those hormones into our bodies when we eat it, and we're messing up our endocrine systems. I remember a few years ago visiting a dairy farm in Arizona, and it shocked me. I still remember it. The cow's udders were enormous, painfully so, and they were dragging on the cement underneath them. It was filthy, and they were totally enclosed indoors. Never in their life did they ever go outdoors. And if a cow died, they would just leave it there on the cement and once a day come in with a bulldozer and pick them up. And you can see a photo from a similar farm on your handout, although that fortunate cow at least had grass under him. And milk is pasteurized to kill any germs that are present at that moment, but the very enzymes that are destroyed by the pasteurization process are the ones that can fight off the invasion of germs. Now, take out the enzymes, and now milk is vulnerable to further attack by E. coli and other germs. Friendly bacteria are destroyed, and our ability to digest it properly is inhibited. Pasteurization destroys vitamin D, so the industry happily adds it back in again, and then they skim the cream off so we can't absorb the vitamin D. Calcium becomes less available to us when we pasteurize the milk. In fact, the enzyme phosphatase, that's the name of that enzyme, that is needed to absorb calcium, but that enzyme is destroyed by pasteurization. Much milk now is ultra-pasteurized. I'm sure you've seen that on the label, and that means it is violently heated within seconds to the heat needed to pasteurize it. And the industry says they have to do that because ordinary germs have become resistant to the old way of pasteurization. Now think about the implications of that. And in addition, the process ensures a longer shelf life so they can sell it longer, but the milk is completely sterile. So here's the lesson. You must read the label. Organic milk, for instance, you're going to pay more. It sounds better, but it doesn't mean it is better. Almost all commercial milk, organic, non-organic, inexpensive, fancy, most of it has been ultra-pasteurized, and it's simply stored in the refrigerator section to make it look like it really needs to be kept cool, when in fact they could store it anywhere in the store. Very deceptive. Wow. Finally, milk is homogenized, and that is the process where they take the fat molecules that are and they manipulate them and change them in size so that the cream will flow evenly throughout the milk and not rise to the top of the container. However, when these molecules change size, they are now small enough that they can leak through the walls of your small intestine, and they cause all sorts of toxic allergic reactions to dairy products. You hear people saying, I'm lactose intolerant, or I can't tolerate milk. And that's usually because of the homogenization. And these are even implicated in heart and prostate diseases. So knowing what we do about Satan's tactics, that he wants to kill and steal and destroy, are you surprised to hear something like raw, unpasteurized, unhomogenized milk, milk that contains all its enzymes and cofactors, and it's from healthy cows that eat green plants? Did you know that this raw milk is illegal in over half of all of our states? There is, thankfully, a large movement to make it legal again. And, you know, with a lot of prayer and help from us and our dollars going towards those things, we can help make it happen. You can find, this is something I'm pretty passionate about, if you can't tell, but you can find out more at realmilk.org, and I have that link on your handout as well, or in your homework. So,
wow, Anne, you've shared a lot so far, and it's, honestly, it makes you mad when you think about what they've done to our food and when we think that we're eating good food and we're not. And I mean, we haven't even gotten very far in the store yet. In each area, they have done something to what, you know, in my mind, I mean, would be good, but yet it's been, you know, processed to the point that it's not. And wow.
Yeah, I didn't mention cheese, Kathy. You're going to have a very difficult time finding cheese in the store that has not been made from pasteurized milk. But hold on, let's summarize what we've learned so far. Number one, eat foods that are as close to the way God intended them as possible. And secondly, read the label. Satan wants to deceive you. Read the ingredients, the nutrient facts, and all the small print. And I have been able to find cheese that doesn't say unpasteurized on it. That doesn't say pasteurized. You just have to really look for it and hunt. Now, Kathy, we've been going around the perimeter of the store. I'm sure you've all heard that the outside edge of the store is the healthiest part. I hope you see that this can be true, but it's also a prime battlefield for Satan's sabotages. You have got to be alert for that roaring lion who walks around seeking whom he may devour among all the nutritious-looking food.
Oh, wow. So next, we're at the meat department. So next, we have all these aisles in between, and we haven't even talked about them. And when I visualize them in my mind, I think of all the boxes and the cans and packaging, and I know they've been processed, so I'm thinking, uh-oh. So what do we do here?
All right. We're going to use the same principles we did before. We have to read the labels. Okay, remember, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's going to lie to you to do it. Let's talk about some of the things we might find on a label. I would like you to turn to page 2 of your handout. There's a huge list of foods that you just never want to buy a food that has one of these things in it. I'm probably going to take out most of the grocery store now, but I'm going to quote, while you're looking through this food list, I'm going to read to you, again, from the writings of the Weston Price Foundation. And this is so good. In 1908, in Japan, a scientist invented the food ingredient monosodium glutamate. About 1 year later, with a partner, he formed a company, I hope I'm saying this right, Ajinomoto, to produce the product. Monosodium glutamate did not appear in the United States to any degree until the late 1940s, following the Second World War. During the war, it had been noted that Japanese soldiers' rations tasted better than the rations used by our soldiers. The difference was believed to be monosodium glutamate. Today, monosodium glutamate, or its reactive component, processed free glutamic acid. You don't have to remember that word. But it's found in almost all of the processed foods that are manufactured in the United States. Grasp that, almost all. In 1957, scientists found that mice suffered eye damage when monosodium glutamate was administered by a feeding tube. In 1968, scientists noted that some of the mice had become grotesquely obese when fed this. I'm going to call it MSG because it's a little bit easier to say. Lesions would be found in the hypothalamus region of the brain, and there were also other neuroendocrine effects from the MSG. The literature is clear in demonstrating that MSG is toxic to humans and that over 25% of the population suffer adverse immediate reactions from eating MSG. Monosodium glutamate is approximately, I would like you to remember this number for a second, 78% of a food must have free glutamic acid in it in order to be labeled MSG. The rest of it is some salt and moisture, and it has about 1% of other contaminants in it. But it's that 78% processed free glutamic acid that causes people to suffer adverse reactions. And unfortunately, there are over 40 food ingredients other than MSG that also contain free glutamic acid in varying amounts. Let me just pause for a moment. The list that you have on your handout, only monosodium glutamate has at least 78%, but every other item on that page might contain 77% or 76% or 30% or 40%, and it is not required by our government to be labeled as MSG because it didn't hit that magic 78 number. So consumers refer to all processed free glutamic acid as MSG regardless of the name, and that's why there is such a huge list on your handout. Neuroscientists believe that the young and the elderly are most at risk from MSG. In the young, the blood-brain barrier is not fully developed and exposes the brain to increased levels of MSG that have entered the bloodstream. And sometime, if you just like to really get your blood going, go over to the formula aisle for where they sell baby products and check out the MSG that is added to their food. Now, the elderly are at increased risk because the blood-brain barrier has been damaged by aging, by disease processes, or by injuries, including hypertension, diabetes, hypoglycemia, and stroke. And I'd like to add that it's not just the elderly, it's anyone that has any of those diseases. And throughout life, the blood-brain barrier on everyone is leaky at best. MSG has been implicated in a number of the neurodegenerative diseases, including ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, and Huntington's disease. And in general, the natural glutamic acid found in food does not cause problems. For instance, Parmesan cheese made from good non-pasteurized milk does have free glutamic acid in it. But why does that one not harm us? Because God placed within it protections in the natural foods that protect us from it. But when they make synthetic free glutamic acid formed during industrial processing, it becomes a toxin. It's separated from the way God created it. In addition, when MSG is formed using hydrochloric acid, the final product includes cancer-causing agents.
Wow.
Since 1998, some of our agricultural crops have been sprayed with a product called OxyGrow. And this is a product that includes 29.2% processed free glutamic acid, so they don't have to call it MSG. But produce sprayed with OxyGrow, it does not have to be identified at all on the label in our grocery stores. So as of the date of this, that they wrote this, the use of OxyGrow has not been approved for organic crops. However, there are two organic fertilizers currently on the market that contain these free glutamic acids. They both contained hydrolyzed protein, and you'll see that on your list on page 2. So this means that even organic crops may not be free of MSG and carcinogens. Wow. So to summarize the dangers of MSG, Kathy, MSG is an amino acid. It has a shape that the body does not recognize. And we've defined these in previous weeks as toxins, and the body attacks them when they see them. Secondly, MSG masquerades in your body as a hormone. And when it does so, it shuts down the natural production of hormones in your own body. Third, your brains are filled with neurotransmitters, and neurotransmitters carry nerve impulses from your brain to your body. Some neurotransmitters have the function of causing your nerves to fire, and other ones have the job of turning them off. But when you put MSG in those neurotransmitters, it causes them to fire and fire and fire and fire until they actually die of overstimulation. It is permanent brain damage. You can never get those back. And that's why it angers me so much to know that they put it in baby formula. Why do they use it in our food? Well, first of all, MSG makes your tongue think that the food is high in protein. So a manufacturer of food can fool you into thinking there is more protein in that food than there really is. This also stimulates the production of insulin in your body, and it makes you hungry for more. And for that reason, it's addictive. It affects the same brain receptors as Valium. And MSG makes food cheap to produce, addictive to consumers. Couldn't have a better formula for repeat sales for the food companies. MSG makes food have a salty taste, and it is a powder. So be especially careful of foods that have a salty taste and might have a powder in them. Any foods that have more than 5 ingredients. But you know what? I'm going to go back to my original rule. Read the label, including those that say natural or organic. Don't trust it. Don't be deceived. Read the label. Now, Kathy, this reminds me of the time that you and I went to the grocery store in real life.
Uh-huh.
And you picked up a can of something that I thought for sure would be free of all MSG, but they had changed it to the label since the last time I'd been there, and I was so embarrassed. But it really is true. We have to check the labels each and every time we buy something at the grocery store.
Yeah, I remember that, too. I don't remember what it actually was, but,
I
tried... Oh, was it? Okay.
It was. Damn, can you believe it?
No. That was probably, 2-3 months ago that we did that. And, we have made changes here, but honestly, I find myself reverting back to the way I've done things, and I'm not proud to say that. And it really bothers me because I know from what you taught me previously and what I'm hearing again today, I'm learning more. So I know what's good and I know what's better. But I'm afraid, I'm afraid that I will revert back to, eating those things that aren't good for me.
You sound like the Apostle Paul.
You
said almost the exact
same
thing.
We do.
Kathy, if you have your Bible there, could you read some verses for me out of Romans 7? But before you do, I'm the same way, Kathy. I'm even more accountable. I have been reading these things and studying for years now, and yet I still do it. And that is so frustrating, especially when I pay the consequences in my health, and I know very well what caused it. I could just cry. But would you read from Romans 7, verses 18 and 19, and then skip down to 24 and 25?
Okay. So Romans 7, we're starting with verse 18. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, that's true, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Oh, what a wretched man. what a wretched gal I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, or Elohim, through Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Absolutely.
Amen. Kathy, as you know, if we were perfect, we would never die. We're only dying because Adam ate junk food. And as God predicted, his body began the dying process, and he passed on the heritage of sin and disease and death to us. But do you remember the promise God made to Adam, how he would defeat death?
Well, let's see here. There's something about how Satan would strike Adam's heel, but Adam would crush Satan's head.
That's Genesis 3:15. And way back then, God made a promise to Adam that he would send him a redeemer, a savior for this terrible and deadly spot they've gotten themselves into. And I know it's just food, but Kathy, we all need a savior. We need help to crush Satan. My inability to keep God's law means that I feel the effects of sin and death in my body. I have Addison's disease, and we have a joke around my house that donuts are deadly for all of us, but Mom feels the effects quicker than everyone else does. But nonetheless, for each sin, whether we're talking about food or deeper sins of the heart like worry and bitterness and gluttony, for each sin there is a penalty, and that penalty is death. It is amazing to me that Jesus was God, and he came in human flesh. Can you imagine living in a body here on this earth and yet never, ever sinning, not even once?
Mm.
He never ate one bite of bacon and marveled at how luscious sin. I mean, we would eat it and say, oh, yum, that is so good. But no, he was perfect in every way. He never did it. However, in his perfection, he laid willingly down his life and shed his blood as a payment for our sin. And the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Yet he shed all of his blood, not for his sin, but as a payment for ours. Jesus' death on the cross provides a salvation and healing. And we read that from cover to cover in our Bibles. But James says that faith without works is dead. You know, I can mentally agree that Jesus died to pay for my sin and that it's all forgiven, but a bite of bacon will still harm my body, even killing cells throughout my body. And if I jumped off a cliff, God would forgive me, but I would pay the consequences just the same.
Yeah.
Kathy, honestly, I look forward to the day that in a new earth that God is going to create, when God plants that tree that Revelation 22:2 says is for the healing of the nations. Praise God.
So
we know that Jesus Christ will deliver us one day from this body of death. But I also know he has the power to deliver us day by day as we seek him. And as we honestly confess and we honestly say, Father, I have sinned against you. Have mercy on me. And he will give us that power. His Holy Spirit will come and live within us and give us the power to live differently, even in our food choices.
Absolutely. I was having that conversation earlier today with God. I truly was, because I'm very, aware of the areas that I know better that I fall in. But he is so gracious, and he has given us grace and empowers us, to do what we need to do and to be all that he's created us to be. And so I would really encourage anyone that's listening not to get hung up here, just to run to your Savior, run to him and talk to him about it and let him know, let him know I'm sorry, but talk to him about it. Yes, you know what? I am looking forward to the day that he returns. You mentioned that, and oh, all I can say to that is hallelujah, come quickly.
Amen. And you know that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he came that we would have life, and that we would have it more abundantly. That just gives me
peace,
because he's way more powerful, especially now that you know his Satan's tricks. You're not going to be fooled like that again.
Yeah.
Page 3 of your handout contains some alternatives to that standard American diet, or Satan's awful diet, whichever you want to call it. We've arranged the alternatives, the saintly substitutes, if you want to call them my silly stuff. But anyway, we've arranged them in order of difficulty. Some of the choices are easier at the top of the page, and you could change them tomorrow and never look back. For others, as you go down the page, the change becomes more difficult, and you can be sure that those are the areas that Satan will continue to tempt you and discourage you and entice you to go back to all your old ways. Now my website, I'm sorry to keep plugging it, but it has helpful links to resources. But no matter if it's there or not, the research and the homework is required if you want to be successful. It takes time and effort on your part. I encourage all of you listeners to take some time this week. This is such an easy thing to do. Go through your cupboards, go through your refrigerator with a big permanent marker and mark all the dangerous foods with a big X. I didn't say throw them away yet. Just mark them. Let them stare at you for a few days. And then begin making a list, maybe on the side of your refrigerator. Keep a pencil handy. And make a list of all the foods that you need to replace or the recipes that you're going to need to find, because you're going to need to start putting together an action plan. Now, adapting recipes for your favorite foods is an easy place to start. I've got lots of great recipes on my website. But, Kathy, you did me a little favor a few days ago, and you thought about some favorite foods that you're suspecting that you have that maybe aren't so good for you, and you put that list together for me.
I sure did. I mean, all I have to do is open my refrigerator, and honestly, I'm actually at my refrigerator right now just so that I can honestly share with you. And first thing I see is a whole lot of dressings in the side door here. And ranch is my favorite, but there's certainly a whole assortment of them. And
sure.
I shared.
Do you have Hidden Valley Ranch right there, or is it a different brand?
Actually, there's a Fiesta Garden, and there's a Caesar garlic, and it's not necessarily Hidden Valley, although Hidden Valley is my favorite. I'm sorry, but I have an assortment.
I think I shared with you. I love that one too.
Oh yeah, and I shared with you that I'm still buying store-bought yogurt. My daughter and I love yogurt, and we always put frozen fruit, we chop it up and put in there. And so I still have that. I know you can make it, but I haven't learned yet. And Katie likes to put granola cereal on top of her yogurt. And I know I have made that in the past, but I've not been diligent about that. But
you know about the yogurt, you need to check your label. I can actually find a good brand of yogurt at my grocery store.
Really?
I think you probably can too. So if that's something you don't have time for, I'm not at my
refrigerator. Check the labels.
Hold on. Yeah, check your label, because even if I told you, I don't always take the time to make my yogurt from scratch, because I know I can get it. It's cheaper from scratch, but you can certainly buy it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll be quiet and let you talk.
Oh, that's okay. I just have a lot of condiments in my refrigerator as well. You know, ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise and barbecue sauce and all that stuff. So.
Those have recipes definitely on my website. I know there are recipes for those.
Good.
And they're really easy. You'll be shocked how fast you can whip those up. Okay,
I'm trusting you. And then I look at myself here, and I usually keep chicken, cream and chicken soup on hand. We love, we call it stone soup. You know, it's kind of a vegetable soup, but you just, whatever kind of vegetables you have around. But I like putting the chicken cream soup in there to thicken it and just to give it that flavor. So I have
that flavor. We call MSG that zing.
Has
that zing.
Yeah.
Well, I have, I cheated. She told me these ahead of time. So everyone that's listening, on page 4 of your handout, I have 3 of the foods that she listed. At the top, I have Hidden Valley Ranch dressing, and I went on the internet and just copied and pasted directly from their website the ingredients that are in that. And then I put a homemade ranch dressing on the side. That one has the full recipe, but you can see the difference. I underlined the ingredients that are dangerous in the Hidden Valley Ranch. Sorry to pick on them. We all do like their flavor, but it has the oils that we didn't even, if you do your homework this week, you'll see that those are dangerous oils. The natural flavoring, the spices, the monosodium glutamate, the artificial flavors, 4 sources of MSG. One of those is at the full 78%, and you can be guaranteed that the other ones are just under it. You add 4 of those ingredients up, and that gets me in the way over 200. You know, imagine the amount of MSG that is in that, and we just, whew. Okay, then you go down to the granola cereal. I have underlined whole grains and sesame blend. Again, they sound very healthy, but you can just tell by looking at them that they have not been properly prepared. And you'll get better at looking at things when you've actually made some properly prepared things yourself, and you can compare the difference. But this one isn't quite as bad. It does have soy in it, and we talked about how that's a hormone disruptor, and it has the damaged non-fat dry milk. And it has natural maple flavor. I am not sure. This is a more reputable company that I put on here. So I don't know if that natural flavoring is a source of MSG or not. I would be wary of it, but I don't know, and I don't want to say that theirs is if it isn't. But I have a homemade granola recipe there on the side, and I didn't, for copyright reasons, put the entire recipe in, but you can find that at your local library. And then at the bottom, I have Campbell's cream of potato. I know you told me cream of chicken, but I couldn't find it in the amount of time I was putting the handout together, so I grabbed cream of potato. You know, I was disgusted with Campbell's. I went on their website, and I couldn't even find an ingredient list. I must have spent half an hour searching the Internet, could not find an ingredient list, and that's a warning flag to me that something's being hidden. But on an old can of cream of potato, I found that it has whey, and I guarantee you that this is not a good whey. That is listed, is a powdered whey, and it's listed on page 2 of your handout as a dangerous food source of MSG. And it also has MSG. It has the bad oils. Notice the word partially hydrogenated in there. Spice extracts and yeast extracts are yet another source of MSG, so this one has a lot of MSG in it. And it's so, so delicious and so easy and quite fast. I just made a casserole on Monday night with homemade cream of chicken soup in it, and it took no time at all, and everybody raved about how good it was. We've been deceived into thinking that opening a can is faster, and I dare anyone to go faster than I did the other night. So I encourage you to try some of this and to kind of tweak your recipes. I have a friend who has been communicating with me by email. She might even be listening right now. But she has been talking about how she eats all of these healthy foods. She eats oats every morning. She's been eating a lot of other grains that have not been properly prepared. And she was doing it as like a health food supplement, trying to eat tons of them so that it would help her feel better. In fact, she was feeling worse and worse and couldn't figure out why, and all it was is they weren't properly prepared, and it made such a difference in her hormone levels. And I just want to impress on you guys that things that sound healthy and sound good, don't let your guard down, not for a moment, because Satan so badly wants to deceive us. We need to wrap up our class for today. Thank you for putting up with it. I know it's been a little bit longer. But after today's class, you definitely have some homework to do. Way more homework than you're going to get done in a week, but I encourage you to dig in and really start learning. Simply visit annshealthplace.com to find today's handout. That's your starting place. And you'll also have several reading assignments. I'm sorry, but it's quite a few. But these articles contain way more information than we can ever fit into the show. We've got lots of amazing information about the dangerous foods that Satan wants you to eat, and the homework assignments are a great place to start to renew your mind, as Romans 12 says. If you need something, a recipe or whatever, and it's not there, I'd love to know about it, so please send me an email, and I will do my best to get you a recipe for what you need. Okay, that's all for today. Next week, we're going to learn 2 easy steps for food preparation that have been followed for thousands of years, since the creation of the world itself, I believe, and at least since the time of Noah and his sons. We can document that in history. And words like lactofermentation and wild fermentation, we're going to introduce them and define them and explain them in easy terms. They sound hard, but they are not, Kathy. In fact, we are going to learn that the ancient methods of food preparation were not only easy, but they taste so good. We're going to put God's zing back into our food, and we're going to discover how to excel at cooking and how to enjoy it and how to make it taste great so that our families will eat it. Kathy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, Anne, what an absolute privilege and pleasure. Thank you for reminding me of all those things that you've taught me before and new things that I'm picking up now. It's good. I'm better equipped. And my Katie, I want to share real quickly. My Katie, she's got beautiful skin, but just recently she started breaking out. She says, Mom, March, and for the whole month of March, I do not want to eat any preservatives. And so it's like, oh, no. So, Ann, I'll be calling you because we're going to need lots of recipes and lots of support with that. So
no
March
problem.
Is just around the corner.
All right. I'll post the recipes on my blog, too. If any of the rest of you want things, just please feel free. I love looking this stuff up. It's a joy for me. You're not bothering me.
You're such a blessing. Thanks, Anne. I can't wait to start learning how to actually cook things here, though. That's going to be really fun.
Got some fun sessions coming up, and they'll be really practical. I know you're going to like it. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Once again, this has been Anne Elliott from annshealthplace.com, and I thank you so much for listening.